We're going to be tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Chapter number 12. We are laying the foundation in this section for why we do not believe the nine sign gifts are still in existence today, even though some people think they are. And I mean some independent Baptist preachers that I know. Maybe they'll get it figured out one of these days, all right? If I preach against it, I may not be their friend any longer, but that's okay. I got along without them before I met them, and I can get along without them now. I remember a song somewhat like that when I was just a little guy. So some of you may remember that too. That was in the days before the rock music became popular. And that was when I was in eighth grade, when Mr. Elvis Presley became popular. I guess it had to be quite a number of years ago, you know, at least four or five. All right, spiritual gifts and the body of Christ we're dealing with this evening. Spiritual gifts and the body of Christ. We began this message last week, and we went through verse 26. We'll start with 27 tonight. But in case you happen to have missed last week, we'll do a little reviewing. And even if you were here, we'll do a little reviewing to set the context. Never study the Bible out of context. It was written in a context. And context helps you to understand the meaning of individual phrases. So be careful how you study. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, we have seen that true believers operate in accordance with the Holy Spirit. We've seen that spiritual gifts are intended to edify the local church. We've seen the listing of nine special spiritual gifts known as sign gifts, which divide themselves into three groups containing two gifts in group one, five gifts in group two, and two gifts in group three. Remember those orders there, the two, five, and two. They will become important in next week's message, when we're dealing with why all nine of these gifts are no longer given. And that spiritual gifts are distributed, we've seen, according to the will of God, the Holy Spirit. As we move into 12 through 31, we see the relationship of the spiritual gifts and the body of Christ. We've seen in verses 12 through 13 that the body is one. We've also seen in verses 14 through 17 that the human body contains many members. You probably can't even name all of them, but you can name enough of them to be certain that there are a bunch. Paul uses the illustration of the human body to demonstrate that differences in spiritual gifts exist in the local church. The local church is comprised of many members, all of whom are gifted differently. Now, that should not be understood as saying that you might not have two or three people in the same local church with the same gift, but we are gifted differently. We're not all gifted with just one gift. We are to serve the Lord in our gifts. Now, what if the Lord hasn't given a particular gift in a local church? Then you don't use that gift, and you don't necessarily depend on that person to carry on a function in the church. You know, when the churches start out, they might only have four or five people in them. You don't have every gift quite yet. But you don't start a youth program until you've got youth, or until you've got workers that can deal with that. You follow that? It's not the most important thing to have programs. It's the most important things to do things God's way according to the Bible. The best thing we can do is make sure our people know what the Bible says. That kind of sets us off differently from a lot of churches, you know. Paul uses the illustration of the human body to demonstrate that differences in spiritual gifts exist in the local church. The local church is comprised of many members, I've already said this, all of whom are gifted differently. It would be ludicrous for all the members of the local church to be gifted with the same gift, whatever that gift may be. Let me just illustrate it with a ridiculous illustration. What if the only gift we had in this church were the pastor teacher? Who would get to do the preaching? Well, I would, because I'm the biggest, right? No, my point is simple. It isn't going to happen. There's nobody that's going to want to listen. You understand? We have musicians. Aren't we glad for our musicians? We have children's workers. Aren't we glad for our children's workers? We have teachers. We have all kinds of gifts. One of the gifts I think we have an abundance of is the gift of helps. We really have a good group of people who have that gift. We're thankful for you all. As we have moved on in verses 18 through 26, we've seen also that God has set the members in the human body as it pleased him. If you don't like the position of your arm, you want it somewhere else in your body, take it up with the Lord. He's the one that determined where to put it, all right? And you won't find a better place than what he's already given you. I just suggest you accept it the way he has done it. In 1 Corinthians 12, 18, we read, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." In verse 18, Paul is showing that God has placed various members in the human body in accordance with his own desires. Similarly, God has placed various people with various spiritual gifts in each of the local churches as he determined. And it would not be right for the various believers to be dissatisfied with or complaining about their individual roles in the functioning of the local church. Serve the Lord in the area in which he has gifted you. And that's what our people are doing quite well. We look at verse 19. "And if they were all one member, where were the body?" In verse 19, Paul asserts that if there were only one kind of member in the body, there would be actually be no body. The same situation would exist in a church if each person had been gifted with the same gift and no other. For example, if all were gifted with the gift of tongues and no one had any other gift, the local church could not function as a church. Verse 20, "But now are they many members, yet one body." Verse 20 indicates that in reality, the body is composed of many members. Yet with all the various members, there's still only one body. And this is true not only of a human body, but also of a local church. Although there is only one body, many parts are needed, each of which has its own unique function within the body. And the eye, verse 21, "cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." In verse 21, Paul is showing the interdependence of one part of the body on the other parts. All of them are needed. All of them need each other. The same is true in the local church. In verse 22, we read, "Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." In verse 22, Paul shows the necessity of all the parts of the body, even of the more feeble ones. The same thing is true in the proper function of a local church. All the gifts are necessary, even though some may not appear as glamorous or as much needed in the public eye. What do we care about the public eye anyway? Not much. We don't care. They can think whatever they like. Necessary. has been emphasized by its placement in the Greek text, which reads, necessary are. As we go into verse 23, we see in those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 23 shows that some body parts, this is the human body, which are deemed to be of lesser importance, are given more honor, and the private parts are modestly covered, thereby honoring them. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Of course, our comely parts are the parts that are not covered, like our hands or our face. And we don't need to have special honor for them. Verse 24 indicates that God has put the various parts of the body together in the way which functions as a unit. He's given proper place and placement and proper honor for whichever ones he chose. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 25 indicates that God has put the various parts of the physical body together in such a way as to have no divisions within the body, but that the various parts should meet the needs of the other parts of the body. In the body, which means in the human body, indicates where God wants no schism, no division, or no dissension. Likewise, God wants no schism, division, or dissension in the local church body. In the human body, the various parts should be concerned for or care for each other, that there be no dissension in the body, and the same is true in the local church body. Rather than the various members looking out only for themselves in the exercise of their varying spiritual gifts, they should be exercising care for each other in all ways, including the exercising of their varying spiritual gifts. Let me comment here. I think you're doing quite well in that area. I've been here now 8.5 months. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But it's been that long. I love being here. I love the people. I love the way they treat each other. I love the way they treat me, even. I've been places where I haven't necessarily been treated as kindly as you folks have treated me. That's all right. God allowed it for my good. I read that in Romans 8:28, as you know. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 26 is indicating that the human body functions as a whole or as a single unit. When one member suffers, the others also suffer. When one member is honored, the other members rejoice with it. There is no jealousy between the various parts of your human body. But you know how it is. If you've had any kind of major surgery, you might hurt all over. I've been through that. Some of you have been through that. It just is the way life is. It hurts all over. How are you doing? When I'm lying there in a hospital bed, hope wondering if I'm going to live or die. Oh, I'm just doing great. Yeah, right. That's what people ask every time I go to the doctor's office. How are you doing? I said, if I were doing well, I wouldn't be here. or something like that. I give them a smart answer. I shouldn't say it that way, but I do that. I have fun with the nurses as I come in and they take my blood pressure and they take my weight and they tell me this and they tell me that and so on and so forth. In a local church, when one member gets honored, we should rejoice that one honor or that one person has been honored. Not be jealous. Why didn't they honor me? Maybe there's a reason they didn't honor you. That's the problem that you have to deal with. Well, we've gone back and reviewed now. Let's get into the text. We're dealing with verse 27 next. As we continue today in verse 27, we see that the local church is the body of Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now remember, he is addressing the church at Corinth. Ye, you plural, are the body. Actually, in the Greek text, the does not appear. You are a body of Christ and members in particular. In verse 27, Paul begins to apply what he has said about the various parts of the physical body to the local church, meaning the body of believers. The various members comprise the local church body, as do you and anybody that's a member that's not here also. Now is indicating a continuation of Paul's thought with a change, a slight change of direction. Ye, of course, is you plural and refers to the believers in the church at Corinth and is emphatic. Ye are describes an existing situation. The body of Christ is literally a body of Christ or Christ's body. The body of Christ refers to the local church, but there are many local churches. The local body of Christ at Corinth is not the only local church in existence, and what is true of the local church in Corinth is also true of other biblical local churches as well. For this reason, the is omitted before body in the Greek text. And continues Paul's statement about the church in Corinth. Members in particular, members in part, or members individually. Each believer in the church at Corinth is an individual member of the local body of Christ, the church at Corinth, and you are members of the Calvary Baptist Church of Hendersonville, North Carolina, individually, each one of you. In verses 28 through 30, we see that the local church contains a variety of spiritual gifts. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Verse 28 continues the comparison of the spiritual gifts given to members within the local church with the various members found in the physical body. The various parts included in the local church body which God has formed include apostles, prophets, teachers, those who work miracles, those with gifts of healings, those who have the gift of helps, those who rule, and those who speak in tongues. And is continuing the thought from verse 27, this list of gifts given to the local church is not exhaustive, which means some gifts are given which are not mentioned here. For example, there's no mention of the gift of evangelist, all right? They also don't put pastor with teachers here. It's not the gift of pastor teacher, it's the gift of teachers. God is referring to God the Father. In the Greek text, the word the appears before God in order to indicate that it's referring to God the Father. It particularizes him as the God of all creation, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, the God who exists as God the Father. Hath set is used of bringing about an arrangement in the sense of fixed, established, set, or arranged, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Hath set was also used in verse 18 of the human body, whereas in this verse, It is used of the local church body. Why do we have certain spiritual gifts among the people in this church? Because God has set them here. Okay? And here is where they serve Him. Some suggest that these gifts were given to individuals, but gives no indication of how many individuals there were. In the church means in the local church. The appears before church in the Greek text in order to treat it generically as a class or group, which means that what is true of one local church is true of all local churches. First, or in the first place, introduces the sequence in which God placed the spiritual gifts in the church. And I want you to take note that in this list, they are listed from most important to least important. The first group is apostles, men like Peter, James, John, Thomas, Matthew, and the rest of the 12, and Paul. These men were appointed and sent out by Jesus. Although most churches, including ours, have never seen apostles, there were apostles in the first local church in Jerusalem. But apostles are not succeeded scripturally by other apostles in the New Testament. So when the Mormons have an apostolic succession in their church, it tells you pretty quickly that they're not scriptural, all right? Yes, they have an apostle, and he changes things so that they're more modern than they used to be, but there's no hard and fast way. There's no absolute. It's a changing to fit society. I remember back a number of years ago, people with black skin were not permitted in the bigger priesthood. Oh, all of a sudden, in the late 60s, when there were civil rights movements, all of a sudden, new revelation had come and they were now permitted. How wonderful. Tells you something about the authority. Well, just here recently, when I lived there a few years back, they were anti-homosexual movement. Interesting, but the biggest per capita number of the percentage of homosexuals in Salt Lake City was second only to San Francisco. Interesting. All of a sudden, they've changed their view. Why? How wonderful, right? We would go through the Mormon Tabernacle, and my wife liked to ask the little girls that were guiding, they're probably about 18 to 20. Why have they changed their doctrine? Oh, it's to keep up with modern society or something like that. The Bible hasn't changed, and it isn't going to change. Well, let's get back into my text before I get carried away. The apostles, they don't succeed themselves. So when they all died, there were no apostles. But the first church had them. The second group God placed in the church, which is introduced by secondarily, understood of in the second place or secondly, is prophets. Prophets are those who received divine revelation directly from God and then delivered these messages to others. God used them to guide the churches which came into existence before the scriptures were completed. Interesting, isn't it? God used the prophecies that were given to the prophets to guide the churches. But now we have the completed New Testament. We have the guidebook. We don't need the prophets. The third group God placed in the church, which is introduced, of course, by thirdly, imagine that, or in the third place, is teachers, not pastor teachers, but just teachers. Teachers are those who instruct others in the things of God. In our church, there are quite a few who have been gifted as teachers. Although all pastors are teachers, I made that statement very kindly, but some men who are pastors are really not doing any teaching. All teachers are not pastors. For example, we have some outstanding teachers, and I don't mean by that that they're outstanding outside the door here. I mean they are excellent teachers in our church among ladies, none of whom has been called to be pastors. How do I know that God hasn't called them to be a pastor? How do I know that Wanda hasn't been called to be a pastor? Because she's not the wife of one husband. Okay, the husband of one wife is a requirement for the pastor. He can't have more than one, but he's got to be a husband. What if his wife has died? He's still been a husband. Now, can an unmarried man become a pastor? Probably. But would you want to go to him for marital counseling? I think it's best to go to somebody that knows something about it instead of something that's just read a couple of books. No. Wanda's an excellent teacher. But Wanda is not called to be a pastor. She doesn't mind that. God called her to be what she's been called to be. Now, I put words in her mouth there. Maybe she does mind that. Maybe that's her goal in life, is to become a pastor. But we're going to have a church meeting if she becomes one, all right? After that, suggests next in succession. It's understood in the sense of then, which introduces the gift of miracles. People with the ability to do signs or wonders in a supernatural way. It is power to work wonders or to do miracles. We don't have those today. Oh, I know we use the phrase that so-and-so worked miracles. Well, it means that he did a very good job at something, but he does not have the miraculous ability that the miracle workers in the New Testament had. Then, which is understood in the sense of next in order of time, God appointed gifts of healings, spiritual gifts of healings. The God-given ability to restore people who are ill or injured to a full measure of health. They're not just practicing medicine. If somebody had the real gift of healing, he could go into one of the hospitals and heal everybody in it. And the medical doctors would have a couple of days off, okay? Then there's, God has placed another gift in the church, and that's a gift of helps, helpful deeds. God has given some the special ability to be helpful to others, regardless of the situation. Now, as I said, I've only been here for 8.5 months, but in my opinion, from what I have observed, we have a good number of people in the Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, who have been blessed with the gift of helps. And every one of them is a real blessing in this ministry. One more gift God has placed in the church is governments. It's the word for administrations, which suggests the ability to hold leading positions in the church. They may not be pastors or deacons, but they're blessed with great ability as leaders. We have some men and some women in this church with this ability. As you know, we are a genuinely blessed church. We have room for a few more if they hurry up and get here. But we are a blessed church. One final gift Paul lists is diversities of tongues. That's not talking about the instrument you have in your mouth. This is speaking of classes or kinds of languages. They have the gift of tongues. It's no accident that the gift of tongues is listed last. The Corinthian believers were glamorizing this least important gift. God has placed the different members in the physical body. So God has placed various spiritual gifts in the local church body. Although most of these gifts are not found in churches in the 21st century, all of these were found in the first church body in the local church in Jerusalem. The gifts of apostles, prophets, miracles, healing, and tongues have all ceased with the completion of the New Testament. So if somebody thinks he's got the gift of prophecy, I was told by a Bible college professor that his wife had the gift of prophecy. I was told by a very well-known evangelist that he had the gift of prophecy. They were both mistaken, even though they were independent Baptists. They do not have the gift of prophecy any more than we have the gift of tongues today. So we come to verse 29, and we see four questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Verse 29 indicates that the various members of the local body of believers have different functions. Not all of them are apostles. Not all are prophets. Not all are teachers. And not all of them are workers of miracles. Paul asks four questions in verse 29, all of which expect negative answers in the Greek text. They're understood in the sense of not all are apostles, are they? And implies no, they are not. Not all are prophets, are they? And implies, no, they are not. Not all are teachers, are they? And implies, no, they are not. Not all are workers of miracles, are they? And implies, no, they are not. These four spiritual gifts mentioned in in 29, are among those mentioned in verse 28. And we move into verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? And then we add, do all interpret? Verse 30 continues the idea that the various members of the local church are gifted differently. All do not have the gifts of healing. All do not speak with tongues. And all of them do not interpret the speaking in tongues. Verse 30 contains three questions, all of which expect negative answers in the Greek text. These three questions are understood in the Greek text as not all have gifts or spiritual gifts of healings, do they? And implies no, they do not. Not all speak or are speaking with tongues or languages, do or are they? And implies no, they do or are not. Not all interpret, meaning translate, are interpreting or are translating, do or are they? And implies no, they do or are not. Except for the terms have, speak, and interpret, the terminology in verse 30 is the same as the terminology, and my note says in verse 28, but it should say 29. There is a typographical error. My computer did exactly what my finger typed. Sorry about that. That should be verse 29. Have speaks of a present possession. And speak, when connected with tongues, suggests the ability to speak or talk in a foreign language without having previously studied it. So you went to school and you were required to take a foreign language, right? Did you have to study it? Yes. Were you tired of studying it? Oh, yes. Could you understand it? Not as well as you needed to. But these people didn't have to study it. Can you imagine knowing Hebrew or Greek or German or French or Italian or Spanish without ever having to take a class to learn how? The missionaries, where do they go when they get to the field? They go to language school. By the way, where do the charismatic missionaries go? They go to language school too. I thought they could speak in tongues. No, they can't. They think they can, but they're not. They still go to language school. Why do they go to language school? To learn the language, because they don't have the gift of tongues. Have, without previously studying it. Interpret suggests explain or translate what has been said in a foreign language without having previously studied the language. I remember being in my church building in Illinois, and we were only in that building for a couple of years. But I remember we had a Korean man there preaching, and his wife was interpreting. At least we think she was interpreting. We have no idea what he said. We know what she said. Was she telling the same thing? I don't know. It does remember, or it does remind me, only this is a little bit different. Now, there was somebody, and I understand it was in the Denver Police Department. They were having somebody in that town that had died, and he was deaf. And so the funeral home wanted to have somebody that could sign for the deaf. And they had a liberal preacher scheduled. That means he didn't believe the Bible. Okay. So the nurse, the funeral home, got this policeman in who did know sign language. And his pastor asked him, how did you handle this? Oh, he said, I let him preach whatever he wanted. And I told him the truth. And nobody knew the difference, okay? I remember that from a few years ago. Yes, I thought that was hilarious too. As we move into verse 31, we see that believers should be seeking the better spiritual gifts. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. According to verse 31, if one were able to choose which spiritual gifts he would be given, even though he can't, he should desire the best gifts. Paul then introduces the idea that there's a better way for believers to go than desiring the best spiritual gifts. Rather than desiring certain spiritual gifts, they should desire this more excellent way. It's the way of love, which is described in chapter 13. We're getting ready next week to look at chapter 13. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to what has preceded. Rather than coveting some spiritual gift, which may not be an important one, the believers are told, covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet is seek or be seeking. It means be positively and intensely interested in something in the sense of strive or be striving. Desire or be desiring, exert or be exerting yourselves earnestly or be dedicated to. And what they are to be seeking are the best gifts, literally the spiritual gifts, the better ones, as listed in verse 28. Why spend one's time and effort seeking after the lesser gifts if the better ones are available? Well, that makes sense, except that they couldn't choose which gifts they would get. And continues the thought of seeking the best gifts, yet introduces the thought that there might be something even better than these sign gifts. Show I, where I as Paul is, I show in the sense of I point out or I make known. And its tense indicates continuing action in the sense of I am showing, I'm pointing out, or I am making known. Paul is doing this in 1 Corinthians by writing chapter 13. Unto you, where you is plural, refers to the Corinthian believers, is simply to you. A more excellent way, a way beyond extraordinary in the sense of a far better way. It is the way of love. A more excellent way has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and yet a more excellent way to you I make known. Inasmuch as there is unity within the body of Christ, the local church, and inasmuch as God has distributed the individual members according to his will, we as individuals should seek to function within the local church in accordance with whatever gift or gifts God has given us. And we should not be overly concerned with the gifts that he has not given us. Let me give you an example. Some people are really blessed with the gifts of music. Other people can't carry a tune in a bushel basket, and you understand that. Should the person who can't carry a tune in a bushel basket fret and complain because he hasn't got the gift of music? No, God's undoubtedly gifted him in some other way. Serve the Lord in another way. If God's gifted you in the area of music, use it for God's glory. We should also seek to love one another. Jesus told his disciples, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, right or wrong, I don't think I'm wrong or I wouldn't say it, I perceive that as a result of the Bible teaching we are receiving in our local church, that our people are indeed growing in unity and in genuine love for each other. Paul is saying that love for each other is even better than the best of the sign gifts. This, of course, means that all of you are required by God to genuinely love me. It also means that I am required by God to genuinely love each one of you. I'm kidding when I said we really have our work cut out for us, don't we? Not really. This love comes as the result of our being filled with the Holy Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit, who produces this love in each of us as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, dear friends, for loving me. I appreciate how well you have been treating me. Realize that our love for each other is mutual. I love each of you as well, and I'm going to leave it alone at that point, okay? Let's have prayer. We'll sing a closing hymn after our prayer. Our Father, thank you that you have given us a genuine love for each other. Help us, our Father, to love thee and love one another, because you have produced that love and unity in our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.